Amen. That was tremendous and a beautiful, beautiful song. Good songs today for Memorial Day, and praise the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 2, back in 2 Kings 2. As I was watching the radar and tracking the storm and everything, I was reminded of many, many years ago back in Bern, Indiana, when I was the pastor there. We were having an evening service, and it was very similar. The weather was very similar to this, and we knew that there was possibility of storms, and we started the service, and I'm guessing, I was trying to remember, I don't remember how many we had in the church at that time. Probably, though, an evening service, usually we'd have had 150, 175 people, I'm guessing, and that makes it even funnier what all we did, But anyway, we were getting ready to start the service. Actually, the service had started, and one of my ushers is rushing down the aisle. And you know, for my ushers to rush down the aisle and it's not offering, there's something going on. And he comes up, and everybody, you know, everybody knows, because it's, you know, it was in the air. You could tell it was going to storm. There were watches and everything. And anyway, so I'm up here, and here he comes, and I walk away with the microphone, and he says, "Pastor, a tornado is headed this way." And so, you know, you have to use common sense. I mean, you can't just tell everybody, "Well, bless God, I'm not going to tell anyone, we're going to go on." Because if everybody dies, I feel bad as we're all going to heaven. But anyway, so I told the folks, I said, "Look, we have a deacon's house right across the street on the catty corner. We have Kathy Dehas. She lived over here. Both of them had real nice sized basements. And we split the church. We had a church split. And split the church, and half of them went over to that basement, and half went to the other basement. And we brave people stayed behind and watched. Until the police car came around and said, "Are you people nuts? Get out of here!" But anyway, everything was fine. Tornado hit just north of where we were, and I say all that. Everybody came right back, and we had church, and had a great service, and God blessed. And I just appreciate you being here. You know, it's you're here because you want something from God. And I don't take that lightly. We need something from God, every one of us. We don't have church and go to church just to say, "Well, I went to church." I hope you don't. I hope it's because you really need something from God, because He has something for us. And this morning I preached on 2 Kings 2, verses 1 to 11, preached on when I am taken, talked about Elijah being taken. And again, we don't look at that as death, because Elijah was just taken up in a chariot of fire. And so it is a little different, but he was still taken. And he was taken away from Elisha. He was taken away from the preacher boys. And certainly there would be a whole bunch of people that would miss Elijah because he was taken. And so the idea was, as we think about folks that have been taken away from us, as we remember them on Memorial Day and tomorrow as you go to the cemetery and that, again, we can kind of look at this story, and we learn some things this morning. Now tonight I ask this question with the passage verses 12 through 25. And that is, who took Elijah? And we had a message at pastor school. Brother Sexton brought a tremendous, I think a classic message on who cast Jonah into the sea. And of course the answer to that is God. And the same answer for who took Elijah. This is not the same idea, but it sounds kind of the same. And but I'm giving you the answer right away. Brother Sexton, he made us have to kind of go through the message before he told us, which it was, you know, most people could tell that. But again, who took Elijah? God took Elijah. So Elisha had no right to complain, did he? No, he had no, the preacher boys, they had no right to, and by the way, they had no reason to fear either, right? "Oh, Elijah's gone, what are we going to do?" It's okay, God took Elijah. And God took your loved one too. And God takes things sometimes from us, and those things are tough. But God always has something, and He always has a reason why He does what He does. And we cannot forget that, folks. Let me just read verses 12 through 15. And Elisha saw it, and again, this is after when he saw Elijah taken up to heaven. Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. When the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Father, please bless the preaching tonight. And Lord, we are here following a bad storm. And Lord, we know that you're in the storm. You know about the storms. You know what's going on with the weather. And so we're gathered here today really just knowing that you have something for us, something special. And I pray you'll give it to us through your word tonight. Please speak to us. Meet various needs, so many needs represented here tonight. And I pray you'll meet those needs in Jesus' name. Amen. We, again, Memorial Day is a time to remember, especially it started as a time to remember those who died fighting for our country. Started with the Civil War and of course, people who died fighting for their cause. And, of course, it's gone on and recognized military folks that fought in all the wars. And then it's I think, broadened out quite a bit to just remembering people who've died. And many folks will go tomorrow to a cemetery, and they'll go and put a flower down and go by the cemetery there, and we'll remember. And we often, as Christians, we often say these words, well, we know God took them. We know God took them. He is God. But the problem is we sometimes struggle with the circumstances surrounding, and the truth is the devil wants us to struggle. The devil wants us to struggle with the will of God. He wants us to doubt God. And so when heartache comes, and as I spoke this morning, very clearly, Elisha was troubled with Elijah going. I mean, it wasn't, he didn't go out and have a party. He wasn't happy that Elijah went. He struggled a little bit. He rent his clothes, meaning that he was in mourning because Elijah was gone. This was his leader. This was his mentor. These preacher boys were, they struggled. They had some sorrow because they would miss Elijah. Don't get me wrong. We sorrow about anything that is precious to us or anyone that is precious to us. It's taken. We have a hard time with that, whether whatever the circumstances are. But the devil wants us to really struggle with that question. Well, who took him? Who took Elijah? Who took Elijah? And this story, you know, ultimately, that is the question that I leave with you. Who took him? Who did it? Who made all of this take place? Well, they're having a hard time there. You know, Elisha isn't Elijah. No, but God's going to give him a double portion of his power. You say, I'd rather have Elijah. Well, I understand that, but I kind of like the guy that has a double portion of the power. Let's be honest. If you needed a prayer request answered and you wanted to go to somebody, I know initially we think, and I know this is me, I would initially think, well, I'd go to Elijah, but who had the double portion? Elisha. Yeah? Now, again, it's not like we have a choice or anything like that. It's just who took Elijah? Now, you can put anything there, all right? Who took Elijah? Who took Al Moran? You can put anything there. You can put a name there. You could. By the way, you could put who took your job. You say, wait a minute. Now you're messing around. Wait a minute. Who took your job? Who? Okay. Is God God or not? Who took your money? Well, preacher, you can't. No. Wait a minute. Is God on the throne, or is he not? Who took your health? Well, and we always say this. I know God took them. Could you put under there, I know God took my money? Could you put there, I know God took my health? Could you put there, I know God took, and could you put something else there? I know God did. Could God stop it? Come on, folks. Of course he could. Who took Elijah? Somebody's heart's broken. Somebody's going to miss him. Elisha tore his clothes. He rent his clothes in mourning for Elijah because he loved him and he was very close to him. Who? Put anything there you want to put. Put a person's name there. Put a best friend there. Put whatever you want. Who took them? Who let it happen? Is God in charge or is he not? Now I want to show you, this morning I showed you four things. I have four things tonight that I want to show you from this. And I hope you'll listen carefully because it's an amazing story. I actually never preached on what I'm preaching right now. Number one is God's power. God's power. I want you to see it so clearly. In verse 7, of course, we see 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view. Okay? They're watching afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. And so they saw that. All right? And verse 11, the Bible says that it says, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. I mean, you talk about God's power. We're talking about God here. God has the power to part the Jordan River. God has the power to come and take Elijah in a chariot of fire. I mean, God can do that. God has the power to part the Jordan River. God has the power to part Elijah from those who loved him too. Amen. We look at him parting the Jordan River and we say, wow, that is something else. Look what God did. But if God parts us from something that we love, we say, oh my, how did that happen? Wait a minute, is God God or not? Same God. Same God parted the Jordan that parted Elijah from his loved ones. Same God. And he parts us from health sometimes. Right? And he parts us from our money. And he parts us from our loved ones. I don't know why. He has various reasons why. But isn't God able to do that? We look at the Red Sea. God parts the Red Sea. We say, wow, I'd love to see that. But when God parts something that we like from us, we struggle with that. Same God, same power. And you know what? It's often the same miracle. But it's our God. Verse 13. I like this. So now Elisha has rent his clothes in pieces. Verse 13, he took up also the mantle of Elijah. So when Elijah was taken, his mantle, his coat or his cloak, it fell off of him. And the Bible says he took it and smote. I'm sorry, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And in my mind, I see Elisha doing this. Now, as I said this morning, he could have said, that's it, I'm done with God. Isn't that what we do? He's upset. When the sons of the prophets said, don't you know that the Lord is going to take your master today? He said, I know it, be quiet. Don't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I mean, you can tell he's upset about this thing. And in my mind, you know, he's just rent his clothes. He's mourning. Elijah's gone. He says, the Bible says, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he rips his clothes. He's in mourning over losing Elijah. But then he looks down at the mantle and of course he remembers that promise. What promise? Promise Elijah made. He said, if you see me go, I'll give you what you request, or God will. And in my mind, I see Elisha pick up that mantle, maybe looks at it, maybe looks around. You know, kind of like us, kind of like we would do. And maybe he's wrestling with what he's going to do. Maybe tonight you're wrestling with whether you're done with God or not too. Maybe tonight you're wrestling with, God let me down. God took something. God took something that I love. God parted me from something that I need. God will never part you from something you need because he gives us what we need. You say, well, I thought I needed it. Well, isn't it amazing how Elisha thought he needed those clothes that he ripped in half? But he didn't, did he? No, he actually got something better. Better? I don't know what that is. But because he took up the mantle of Elijah. And the Bible says in verse 14, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And he proved Elijah's promise. He proved it by smiting the waters, and God had given him power. He showed, look, God showed Elisha that God is God. God proved to him. He could have got mad. He could have got bent out of shape. He could have left the church. He could have left Christianity. He could have thrown his Bible away. He could have quit praying. He could have quit tithing. He could have quit all kinds of things, being mad at God. But instead he said, you know what? I'm going to pick up this mantle, and I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to just see if God really is God. And God is. He always is. He always is. You see, Elijah was gone, but God wasn't gone. Amen? Yeah. Your job may be gone, but God's not gone. Your security, it may be wiped out, but God's more secure than your security. You may have just lost a best friend, but God's still God. You may, something very, very precious to you may be gone or on the way out, but God's still God. And you know, as Christians, if we would just understand God's power. I ask you again, who took Elijah? Who took him? God. And the key here is God did the same thing for Elisha that he did for Elijah. He parted the waters. You know, some people say from the reading there that he had to smite the waters twice because of that word also. I'm not so sure about that. But he, even so, you know, maybe that was to help him be a little bit humble. I don't know. It's hard to say. The question is, though, you know, it's not about the mantle. It wasn't about the man. You know what it's all about? It's about God. It's all about God. You go to a cemetery tomorrow and you go through there, and all of a sudden the devil starts telling you, yeah, this was your friend. This was your dad. This was your mom. And boy, God wasn't fair taking them. God, that wasn't right when God took them. That wasn't good that God did that. And you know, you need to say, well, who took them? Who took them? God. Look, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Look at it. Keep your place here. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." You know, sometimes God takes things. Sometimes God allows things. Sometimes God lets the devil buffet us a little bit. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We all talk about it. We all, you know, and everybody says, "Oh, yes, I bless God, I know about that." We just don't like our thorn. We just don't like what we were parted from. We'd sure like to be a part of the parting of the Jordan River. Man, if I could see that, that'd change my life. How is the parting of the Jordan River any different than the parting of whatever it was you love from you? There is no difference. It's just we don't like the one. Number one, God's power. Number two is God's patience. I like this. Verse 15, it says, "When the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha.'" Okay, it sounds like they saw the miracle. They saw the parting of the Jordan River. And they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Well, that sounds pretty good. So here's these preacher boys. Now, they miss Elijah too. But now they do see that Elisha has the spirit of God on him. And they see that he has power. But it's very interesting what takes place. It says, next it says in verse 16, "And they said unto him, 'Behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master.'" Huh. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, here they have recognized God's spirit was on Elisha. They bowed to his leadership. Seemingly, they accept that God took Elijah. They're not complaining about anything, but something was going on. Something was happening in their hearts and their minds. I think the devil was throwing darts at them. I really do. And I watch Christians do this. It's all right. I'll just keep going. I got this memorized. And I've watched Christians, you know, get those darts as well. You know, well, I think everything's all right. Well, but the devil starts throwing his darts at us, you know, and maybe things aren't so all right. And here they said, there are 50 strong men with us. He said, let them go and seek thy master. Who are they talking about? Elijah. Wait a minute, didn't we just realize that God just took Elijah and he just took him up to heaven? Everything's all right. And praise God, he's in control. And well, they missed him. They missed him. And now they're starting to wonder. Because the Bible says, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. What did Elisha say? And he said, ye shall not send. Wait a minute. They think that somehow God dropped him. Somehow, it just seems, they think God messed up. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. God doesn't mess up. God never messes up. God knows what he's doing all the time. It seems like they thought God somehow messed up. But watch this. Here's what I think. I think their emotions got involved because they loved Elijah, just like Elisha did. I think their immaturity got involved because they're young prophets, preacher boys. I think they were immature spiritually. Yeah. I mean, Elisha knew what was going on. Elisha knew that when Elijah went, God had him. And God was in control. He had sorrow. He hurt. He didn't like it necessarily. But he knew who took Elijah. These guys, I'm not sure what they were thinking. You know? We think maybe God might have cast him on a mountain or into a valley or, you know, got him like a great big bird and accidentally dropped him somewhere. And we better go check him out and take care of him. But I think they were emotional, they were immature, they were young. Understand this, wisdom that comes with age, please get this, wisdom that comes with age can't be taught, but it can be trusted. It really can. That's why God gave kids parents. Amen. You thought God gave you kids, no, he gave your kids parents. Because wisdom that comes with age, you can't teach that. It isn't going to happen. It just takes age to bring it on. But you can trust it. Amen. Who took Elijah? God did. Would God drop Elijah? If he did drop Elijah, it was his will. He meant to. I mean, he's got a fiery chariot, and horses of fire. I'm sure the horses of fire didn't go out. I'm sure they didn't fly through a rain cloud and all of a sudden the flames blew out and Elijah fell. You say, how could they think that way? You know, as a pastor all these years, I wonder how people think the way they think. I never have quite figured that out. And the hardest person to figure out is myself. Sometimes I get on my face before God and I say, God, you don't deserve me. No, I don't. I didn't mean it that way. You don't deserve to have to put up with me. Yeah, that'll be a quote now. Go ahead, send it away to people. That'll be in the newspaper. Pastor Rogers after the tornado. I get so frustrated, and I think, God, how in the world do you put up with me? And how do you put up with us? But he does. He does. Who took Elijah? Sons of the prophets. Who took him? Well, God did. Would God drop him? Would God put him on a mountain? Can you see Elijah up on a mountain somewhere? Help! Help! Somebody get me off here. Come on. But that's what they thought. And Elisha says, no, you shall not send. But look what it says in verse 17. When they urged him till he was ashamed. Do you see that? I read that. I had to read that over and over and over again. When they urged him till he was ashamed. I mean, they kept after him. I thought, what? Why would he be ashamed? What would make him ashamed? Here's how I envision them talking to Elisha. I think they might have said something like this: "You don't care about Elijah." I think they said that. What do you think? That sounds like something they might have said. Because, again, it made him feel bad for saying, "You shall." Wait a minute, Elisha, do you know why Elijah was taken? Do you know who took Elijah? Oh, yeah, I know who took him. Do you really think that Elijah was dropped on his head on a mountain somewhere or down in a valley? Well, no, I really don't. But they urged him till he was ashamed. I think they said something like, "You really don't care about Elijah." They might have said, you're jealous of him. You wanted to take over for him. I can hear it. You want to have your own way, don't you? Yeah, I can hear it. I can hear him say, "You don't care about us." I can hear it all. Whatever they said, I think it was something like that. It made Elisha ashamed, and he finally let them have their own way. "Send," he says. They sent therefore 50 men. They sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, "Did I not say unto you, go not?" Now, you know, I think that's interesting. Whatever made Elisha ashamed, he let him have their own way. And by the way, those words that they, whatever they said to Elisha that made him ashamed, they could easily have said those things to God. "You don't care about us. You don't care about him. You don't care about any of that stuff." Why? Well, because God's the one that took him. But of course, it's easier to say it to a man than it is to say it to God, right? It is. Anyway, verse 17. They sent, they sought, they found him not. And there were 3 days wasted. How much time is wasted? How much time is wasted and lives are ruined because of us not understanding that God's God? It is amazing what God has to put up with. That's why I made this point two, God's patience. The key is we have to accept things. You know, we have to learn to accept things. How many people have quit at a cemetery? They just quit. "I'm not going to serve God ever again." How many people have quit at a hospital? "That's it. I'm done. I'm out of here." How many have walked out of a doctor's office? "If I'm going to have cancer, that's it. I'm done. I'm not serving God anymore." People lose a job. People lose finances. People lose their health. You name it. And they're done. And they want to point fingers at man, but who took Elijah? It wasn't a man. No man took Elijah. God did. And we have to accept that. This morning I talked about the testimony of Elijah. The testimony of Elijah is to trust God. I mean, he left his testimony. His testimony was one of trusting God. He left that testimony and he left his mantle. And as I said this morning, the sorrow that Elisha had at the loss of someone he loved, that sorrow caused him to tear his clothes, and that helped him pick up the mantle so he could do double the miracles of Elijah. Yeah. And so he could have new opportunities and new blessings. How many opportunities have been lost in our lives because of this very thing where we said, "That's it. God let me down. God has hurt me, and I'm not going to go on." So he put on the new coat, and he received the new opportunities. But again, verse 14, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Understand, these new opportunities were going to bring sorrow. And they came right on the heels of sorrow. Wait a minute, preacher, are you saying for Elisha to be able to part the waters of the Jordan River and to do these other miracles that he does here, are you saying that Elijah had to go? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's very obvious in the scripture. Yeah. And his heart was broken. And he's in mourning. And he loved Elijah. And I think later on he's accused of not loving Elijah. I think later on they make him ashamed of something. But the truth of the matter is, he knew that he just had to go on. You ever had something taken away from you? And you almost got mad at God. Got mad at everything else. Yeah. I wonder what we miss out on when we quit. Wonder what we miss out on when we give up. Wonder what we miss out on as we blame God for things that take place when something's taken away. Often in my life, I've had things taken away from me. I've had my parents taken away, my grandparents taken away. I've had many, many things taken. 10 years ago, God took much, much away from my wife and I that you don't know anything about. And our hearts were broken and we had unbelievable sorrow. I mean, you just, you know, well, Pastor Rogers, he's tough. He can, you know, well, that's not necessarily true. We sat in a little church and a group got up and sang, "God wants to hear you sing." And I was about that close, Brother Correa, to just saying, "That's it. I'm not going to take any more." And I was that close. And that group got up and they sang that song and my wife started to cry. "God wants to hear you sing." Never forget it. And I thought, yeah. And here I am whining and griping and complaining. 10 years ago, most devastating things in our lives took place that cannot be imagined. But 9 years ago, because we kept going, 9 years ago, God gave us a new opportunity. And that's here. Now, I never thought that day would, honestly, I did not believe that day would ever come. It wasn't in my plan. I didn't think. But God gave us a new opportunity. It hadn't been a picnic. But it's God's will. And we have, honestly, I look back and I think, wow, I was that close. That close. I'm talking to some folks tonight that are that close. Because you don't like what God took away. But you have to recognize God did it all. And every day, in my life, every day I'm just looking for that next miracle. That next thing that God's going to do. Don't you love to watch God work? What an amazing thing. Well, real quick, I want to finish these next two points. The first miracle that Elisha did was proof that God was with him when he parted the Jordan River. The third point that I have is God's provision. And that's the second miracle that Elisha does. It's a miracle of mercy. All right, and I've got two outlines going here, all right, if you're following me. And God's provision is, it's a miracle of mercy. In verse 19, it says, "The men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground barren." I think these are the same preacher boys, this same group of people coming out of Jericho, I think, and now they're coming out and they're complaining about the bad water. They say, the city's pleasant, but they said that the water is bad, and therefore the ground is barren. And so, you know, in my mind, the first thing I think about is these guys, they're complaining about the bad water and the bad land and everything. They already had implanted in their minds that God blew it somehow and dropped Elijah on his head on a mountain somewhere or something. And now they start complaining about everything. Understand, folks, complaining is not trusting God. That is what a complaint is. I don't care what the complaint. We're not trusting God. But verse 20, we have another opportunity for a miracle. And Elisha says, he said, "Bring me a new cruse and put salt therein." And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land." What an amazing thing. You know, you by the way, you say, yeah, put the salt in the water. That's a great, salt corrupts. Salt not only corrupts the water, but it corrupts the land. Look at the land by driveways where they salted. Yeah. But that's the man of God, doing things people don't understand. That's always how it is. That's exactly how it was with Elijah. Can you imagine people? I could just hear him say, what is he doing? He's going to make our water better by putting salt in our water? But again, Elisha already knows that God's in control. Because God took Elijah, and God left some things for Elisha, and Elisha picked up the mantle so he could keep going. And, wow, I like what Elisha said. Thus saith the Lord, I have healed this water. I have healed it. And we see God's mercy. The waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And there's his second miracle now. He's only, a few hours into miracling. Amen? And he's got two. And the Jordan parted, and the water was healed. And his first miracle was proof that God was with him. His second miracle was a miracle of mercy. And now we come to number four. We've seen number one, God's power. Number two, God's patience. Number three, God's provision. And now number four, our last point, is God's punishment. And this is the third miracle, and it's a miracle of judgment. And by the way, sometimes that is how God does his miracles. And verse 23 is a familiar story. It says, he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And by the way, the insult is not so much the bald head, though that is disrespectful. The insult is they were mocking how it was said that his master, his leader, Elijah, had gone up in a chariot of fire. And they're mocking that. They're making fun of that. And the Bible says they mocked him. Now, little children here, that can be small children all the way up to teenagers. Doesn't matter. Because it's the Bible. And so we see here God's punishment. We just saw God's mercy. He healed the waters. Now this group is going to get God's judgment. And they're going to get God's judgment because of one thing, and that is a lack of respect. And the Bible says he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. That doesn't mean he said cuss words. He probably said, God, you deal with them. Something like that. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear 40 and two children of them. First thing I thought about the day that our church was broken into, I thought of this story right here. Because it's completely a lack of respect. Somebody would break into a church, break the windows, and steal things. And they did it three times. But that's a lack of... I can't hardly believe it, can you? It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that people would mock God's word about the rapture. We just saw that this last week. And again, I'm not talking about the date setting. Date setting should never be made. God said not to. God said you're not going to know. Anybody that believes that, anybody that follows that, is they don't believe the Bible. Because the Bible says, no, we're not going to know. We can't set dates. But for people to mock the rapture, you know, for people to make fun of something God said is going to happen, it's just a lack of respect. Do you know there was a day people wouldn't do that? There really was. Thief breaks into the church three times, steals things, breaks things. People mock the rapture. There's an attack in this area of respect. I think about, you know, folks that tear things up around the church building. That's a lack of respect. It's a lack of respect when we throw trash on the church property. It's a lack of respect when you walk by it and don't pick it up. So it's hard to imagine that. Why? Well, because it's God's house. And there is a lack of respect, and a lack of respect as far as God's will is concerned, just like we're talking about here. There's a lack of respect. There's an attack today on God's will. There's attack on God's man. There's attack on God's methods. There's an attack on God's messengers. But I remind you this, God is not mocked. He never is. You're not going to mock God. And that's we see that with Elisha here. Israel's great sin. Let me have you turn to something here. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 16. I mean, they had a lot of sins. They did a lot of things. But there's something that stands out, and you can find a lot of verses on it. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 16. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 16. It says, "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy." I'll be honest with you. I get very concerned about folks that they'll get upset and say, well, you know, those kids are tearing up the pew, but then they'll go tear up the pastor. Which belongs to God and which doesn't? Oh, look at all that trash in that building. I can't believe those kids would tear that up. But you go home and tear up the man of God. But I'll tell you why. I'll tell you where it starts. It starts where it started with these children here. Somebody started talking about it, and there just became a lack of respect for a man of God, a man that is God called. And it's our world today. Why would a thief break into a church? Why would people mock the rapture? Why? It all starts with the things of God that we have no respect for anymore. And we are at that day. God sets up authority. He sets up children to have authority of their parents and children to have authority of teachers. And God gives the pastor authority over a church. I ask you a question tonight. Who took Elijah? Who did it? God did. God did. Go up, thou bald head. God says, you're not going to do that. You're not going to mock my messenger. By the way, Elisha did not touch those young people. He didn't do a thing to those young people. He was not carnal in dealing with it. You know what he did? He said, in the name of the Lord. Because you know what? It's always about his name. When thieves broke into the church, I said, God, this is your church. You deal with that person. Mm-hmm. God, this is your church. These are your buildings. This is your property. You deal with them. It's about his name. It's God's name that we're messing with. Elisha didn't touch him. But you know what? When you insult God's things, you insult God. And you disrespect God. These children, maybe they sat around and heard all that stuff from their parents about the bald-headed preacher. Maybe they heard that Elijah, the word was being passed around that some fiery chariot took him or something like that. Some wild idea. Can you imagine? 42 of them died that day. I would guess there were more. Bible doesn't say. By the way, do you know God could have sent a disease to them? Would have been the same result. They would have died. Now, who did that? Well, there's no doubt about it. It's Elisha's fault. It's not Elisha's fault. Who sent those she-bears? God did. In the name of the Lord. And the one who sent the she-bears is the same one that took Elijah. By the way, he's the same one that healed the water, too. He's the same one that's blessed your life. He's the same one that's answered your prayers. He's the same one that's given you the job. He's the same one that gave you the finances. He's the same one that blessed you. He's the same one that gave you your spouse. He's the same one that you've stood up and give testimony and praised him for. He's the same one that has blessed you over and over, gave you a country called America. He's the same one that gives you overtime when you need it. He's the same one that mysteriously, that bill doesn't have to be paid now. He's the same one that helped you through college, same one that helped you through high school, same one that helped you on that test, same one that helped you on the quiz, same one that got you out of the hospital, same one that took away your sickness, same one that stopped the tornado tonight, same one that always blesses us, same one. I'd like to see the Red Sea part, but you don't want to see things parted from you. How in the world can we be so fickle? Honestly, don't you feel sorry for God sometimes? I do. I do. Because the one who took Elijah is the one who's taken things from me. And sometimes I've gotten a little bent out of shape, and I have no right to. And I know, I admit that tonight. I'll confess that all night long. Do you know I have no right to question anything God does? None of us do. Are we prone to? Yes, we are. But what we need to do is we need to understand that the same God that parted the Jordan River, wow, the same God that healed the waters, wow, is the same God that took Elijah and the same God that took those little children. He's God. We need to let him be God, trust him, and rejoice over all the things that God has done. Tonight, God took Elijah. God took your money. God took your health. God took your loved one. God messed up that plan. God, he rearranged your calendar. Yeah, that was God. God did that. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to be mad is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to get a bunch of people on my side. Listen to me. Here's what you ought to do. You ought to pick up the mantle. Because God has something great for you. He really does. If you'll pick up the mantle. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder how many tonight would say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart about something. Please pray for me." Raise your hand all over. Just slip it up. God's speaking to my heart. Father, bless the invitation. I love you, Lord. And I'm sorry that I've failed you often and griped sometimes and complained and got a little whiny with you. And that's wrong. And I know that, God. And you know, we've many mornings I've had to get right with you over that. Tonight I do thank you for the things you've taken. Though it's always hurt, it's always been hard. But I thank you that whenever you take, you always give back. And what you give back is always so good. I pray you'll help us now to have victories all over this room as we think of loved ones that were taken, as we think of jobs, as we think of situations, as we think of whatever it is you bring to our hearts and our minds, God, I pray we'll get victories and that we'll go on and pick up the mantle that's left behind and we'll do what you want us to do. Please, God, don't let the devil get a victory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God's speaking to your heart tonight. You need to come. Kneel at an old-fashioned altar. Come right now. God's speaking to your heart. You have a decision to make. Come on. Have thine own way. Others need to come tonight. God, speak in your heart. Time to make that decision. Pray about that situation. If you need to pray about something, just come. All right, be seated for just a moment. I want to receive a love offering. I've not done this officially for this need. I've mentioned it several weeks now about the need for songbooks at Stryker, and by faith we went ahead and got those, knowing that there would be a way to take care of it. But folks, you ought to have a part in this, honestly. The prison ministry is maybe our most soul-winning type ministry. We see people saved every week in our prison ministry. And Stryker, Ohio is a great, great place to go. And we don't want to use charismatic songs. You know, we don't want to, you know, one prison ministry I preached at in my first years of preaching, we didn't have any songbooks or anything, and a fellow said, I got this song, I'll sing. And he got it, and he sang I can't remember what it is now, and it's probably good, but it was an old rock song, and he gets up and sings. And that still happens in prisons, because they don't have anything. So we need songbooks, but we've not actually taken up an offering. So ushers, you come. And we're going to go ahead and receive a love, a give toward this. All right, there's enough folks in here. We probably need a couple $100 still. And I've been doing it, just kind of having people write on their envelope, but that just hadn't come in. And we've had a lot going on. I know people, you know, I know everybody is tight in finances, but this will go to Abundant Pardon Prison Ministry. And therefore, if there's, you know, too much, you know, we'll be able to use it in our ministry already. But this is a great ministry. And let's not miss out on this opportunity. Brother Mike Waters, would you pray for the love offering, please?